see, another thing that I'll do in that situation, I'll pray for you. Actually, I was praying that Sister Shirley would let him in the door. We had a good time. Didn't catch a whole lot of fish that time. Always say he wanted to go night fishing, so got a pontoon and we put it out. And we didn't do too good. It was kind of an in-between type of weather. And it got to the point that I had a light over. We pulled back into the dock and I put a light into the water, and float light. And in there, Brother Jerry was out fishing on the dock and around. And pretty soon I just saw him take his rod and reels and go put them up. I knew he had had enough. So we had a good time. We had a good time, though, just by talking to one another. I want to just comment on the things that, a couple things that Brother Miller said. You know, when the story that in Acts, when it talks about the Philip and the eunuch, it said that he preached Jesus to him. Understand something, that the eunuch said, well then, what hindereth me from being baptized? Here's water. So he didn't just stop with teaching Jesus. He taught the doctrines to him.
Amen.
As well. So he knew that he had been saved, the eunuch did, and he wanted to be baptized. So Philip had taught the doctrines to him.
Yeah.
And that is so important for us. Now, I look around and I see that we're missionary Baptists that are here tonight. I wish that a lot of other people would come in. But when they do, we don't start out with the doctrines. We start out with Jesus.
Yes.
But then we need to teach the doctrines.
Amen. Amen.
The other thing that I wanted to mention, comment on what Brother Miller said, was the fact that he talked about the mourner's bench would be a good place to get saved. Right back there is a good place to get saved, too.
Amen. Amen.
You need to go outside and bow down by one of these cars over here or whatever. That's a good place to get saved. And I don't know who's lost in here tonight, but it would be a good place to get saved. But I also say to you tonight, if we're have grown cold and indifferent about anything, mourner's bench is for you, too.
Yeah.
And for me, too.
Amen.
Amen.
And the knees. You know, I don't bend my knees as well as I used to get down the way I did, but I try to humble my heart, and that's the main thing.
Amen. God help me.
It's important for us to realize that.
Yeah.
I see Brother Inslee right there, and I love him much. We had a little mission up in Smith's Grove for a while. And we got to take turns preaching to one another. Just about our family, Sister Jean was there leading it, singing or playing the piano some. And then Sister Judy Carter would come up. But Brother and Sister Wright were there. Annette and I were there. And we'd just take turns preaching to one another. That was a special time.
Yes.
You go back in history and you look, and you know, I thought it was going to be cold in here, but that little heater back there, I want one of those. You go back in history and look, and you will find in some places it will say, and I'm going to use the translation of the Greek word because I'm not even sure I can pronounce the Greek word. But it talks about, and when they heard the gospel of the winning of the battle at one place, in one writing. When they heard the gospel about someone coming to their city, that was good. Today we would say, you know, let me give you some gospel. Let me give you some gospel. So and so got through surgery just wonderful. And you would use that Greek word that meant, because you see, gospel was not, is not a word that was used strictly to mean the gospel of Christ, the good news about Jesus Christ. But that's what I want to talk about tonight. Amen. Not the winning of battles.
Amen.
Not the good news of someone being coming through surgery or getting out of the hospital, or the good news that the swindles went home, the gospel that the swindles went home. But I want to talk to you tonight about the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And it's important that we realize, though, how good a news that is.
Amen.
Right.
Sometimes we just kind of pass over it, and I kind of just let it slide by and think, we've heard that all of our lives. And we've become numb to it. I started to say tonight I was going to use it. I can give you some real gospel. Election's going to be over with tomorrow. Whoever wins, good news.
Amen.
It's going to be over with. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important in my life, and if you've been saved in your life and in your family's lives, if each of those members have been saved. But it's important if nobody's saved either, just to be honest with you. Because it's what Jesus did for us is the gospel. It's not about the gospel in my life, but it's the gospel truth that Jesus came and died on the cross for us, was buried, and rose again. Turn with me to Romans, the first chapter, and I'm going to read just a very familiar passage of Scripture to start out with. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You see, it's the power unto salvation. It doesn't mean that it's only the power if you get saved. It is the power by which anyone can get saved.
Amen.
Some people reject that.
Yeah.
But it's still the good news. Some people hear it and go on about their lives and live a life of a hellion, if you would.
Yeah.
But it's still the good news.
Amen.
When did the gospel start? Well, our recorded history of in the Scripture tells us that the gospel started when God came down and saw that man had sinned. Not that he didn't know it already, but that God, in His infinite mercy, clothed them out of the skins of animals, and He shed the blood of animals to hide their nakedness, their sin.
Amen.
That is a prime example of the good news. You know, I bet you Adam and Eve thought that was good news.
Amen.
I bet you that if we could go back and talk to them, they would say, "Well, sure, that was a lot better than those fig leaves that we tied together. Wish we'd have never done it at all, but God gave us some clothes to wear." You see, the good news is that God is the one that provides the gospel.
Amen. Yeah.
The good news is, the gospel is, God is the author of the gospel. The good news is that not only is He the author of the gospel, but He's the finisher of the gospel.
Amen.
As well. Amen. We can go on and we can look a little further on and we can find out that Abraham, God had told him to go and sacrifice the son of promise. And he went on up and took it up into the mountain. Of course, we know the story. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. I'm just trying to bring this together so that you understand what the gospel is and what I'm trying to bring about tonight through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But you see, just as Abraham raised the knife to slay his son Isaac, And the angel said, "Whoa, stop." You know, I bet Abraham looked over there and he looked at that ram caught in the thicket and he said, "That's good news."
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good news. Now I don't have to sacrifice Isaac. I don't have to see what God's going to do as far as the resurrection. He's already put him to the test. Put me to the test. And God says you're willing to do it. That he would not withhold his son, even his only son. That's the way God did it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He gave his only begotten son to die.
Amen.
We can go on a little further in the gospel, in the scriptures. And we can find a little bit of history about it and in the Psalms. And when David kind of looked forward and he said, "And the Lord said to my Lord, sit on the right hand."
Yes.
You know, David looked into that future and he said, "There he is, sitting at the right hand of the Father." But he looked into it as a prophecy, folks.
Amen.
As a prophecy. You know, I say this, and some people kind of don't understand it a little bit, so don't throw rocks at me. Please don't throw rocks at me. But I think I can, I don't know if I can convince you of it, but Scripture teaches us this. Jesus did not exist in heaven. The Son of God existed in heaven. Jesus does exist in heaven now after he was born in Bethlehem and he was raised there in Galilee and he died. By the way, whoever said that the people were going to be 35 years old, probably 33, because the Bible says, "And we shall be like him."
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Think about that. I put up a tree stand today, climbed up in it, had a guy take a picture of me. I looked like a big butterball turkey up there, just a roosting up there. Y'all quit laughing. But I didn't feel like I was 33 years old anymore. But one of these days, I will. One of these days, I'll feel that way. So, but we got to think of what that is. It's the fact that there is a future out there when good things are going to happen.
Amen. Yes.
We can go on in the scriptures and we can learn over and over again all of the types that teach us about the Savior coming. And folks, that's good news.
Amen.
That was good news for those people.
Amen.
That there was going to be a Savior coming. A Messiah that would lead the people. That would take care of them. We can actually go back and think before David and go to Moses. And when Moses was there trying to convince the people that they should listen to what God says. And Pharaoh that he should let his people go. And Pharaoh wouldn't do it. And Moses told the people something just flat crazy. He said, "You go kill a lamb and you put on the doorpost. And tonight, when the death angel comes, what will he do? He will pass over you." Folks, that was good news to those people.
Amen.
That was good news to those people. But I told you it sounded crazy, and I'm sure it did. It had to do it by faith. But does it sound any more crazy, Brother Todd, than a man that a lot of people saw just as a man? But he was the God-man Jesus.
Amen.
Shedding his blood on an instrument of capital punishment.
Yes.
That the Romans used at the time. That would be our salvation today.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good news.
Amen.
That's gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what it means for us to understand that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I wonder what it would be like if we didn't have all of that to go back to and say, you know, so often I wonder how other religions can try to wrap their mind around what it is that God does for them. And I'll tell the story. And Brother Todd knows this. We have a couple in our church. He drives a bus for Western. He made real good friends with a girl from India. She rides his bus a lot. And she's been coming to church a lot. And I had the chance to turn around and talk to her the other day after a sermon Brother Todd preached. And I said, do they, and I knew the answer to it already, but do they sacrifice animals in the Hindu religion? Oh, yes. They'll sacrifice a goat or a sheep, and then they'll offer it to the god. She said, I don't really believe in all that kind of stuff, though. She said, I don't like that kind of stuff. I said, oh, okay. And then I said, never a cow, though, right? She said, no, because cows are sacred. I said, well, let me tell you the difference between what we believe and what your religion believes. You see, we don't have to make the sacrifice to our God.
Amen.
Our God made the sacrifice
yes.
for us.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, that's good news.
Amen.
Amen.
That's gospel.
Yes.
Amen. That's something that we should get fired up about.
Amen.
That's something that should cause us to stand up and to shout it from the mountaintops. We should be like that old gospel song or that old song that we used to sing as children. Go tell it on the mountain.
Yes.
Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. You know, we go on a little further and we come to the time that after 400 years of prophetic silence, that there came a time when God, in the fullness of time, He sent His Son, born of a virgin. By the way, let me go back a little bit further, something I thought of there. You know, Isaiah said that His name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor.
Yes.
The Mighty God. The Prince of Peace. Another time play, He said, be called Emmanuel.
Yes.
Which is being interpreted what? Being interpreted what?
God with us.
God came down and invaded history.
Amen.
Is that good news?
Amen.
Is that gospel? That's good news.
Yeah.
That's gospel. We should be excited about that. It should be something that we're willing to proclaim throughout all of our lives if we've been saved.
Amen.
And understand it. You know, the angels got to bring good news there to those shepherds. I bring you what? Good tidings. By the way, that same is the same word.
Yeah.
That's gospel.
Yes.
I bring you good tidings of great joy.
Yeah.
Jesus is born. And you'll find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. We're getting ready. Earlier, if you go into stores, you'll find out that Christmas isn't that far away. And we celebrate that. But we don't need to celebrate the lights on the tree.
No.
That's pretty to have. We don't need to celebrate all of the fancy dinners. Those are good fellowship. But we need to celebrate what? The gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. The
Amen.
Gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we talked about all of those sheep and goats that are there. But if we go on and we look over in Romans, the 9th chapter, what does it tell us? Not by the blood of goats and calves.
Yeah.
No, not by the blood of goats and calves. But it was by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good news.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I've got sheep on my farm. And I raise sheep. And I've got not as many as I used to because it took me a long time to figure out how to take care of them. But I've got some. I've got some little, pretty little lambs. Tim was over there, a member from down at Woodlawn, a friend of ours, and he was over there today, and he said, those little lambs are so cute. And they are. You know, their little tails, they'll just wag. He said, they're so cute. They are. And they used to sacrifice them.
Yep.
And the sheep, and the goat, and the bullock, and the calf. But it was all pointed to Calvary.
Yeah.
The good news.
Yeah. Yes.
The gospel.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we go on and we look at that and we think, okay, he came and he died and then he rose again.
Amen.
He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
That's right. That's really gospel. Yeah. Now, let me explain to you about the resurrection. One of the aspects of the resurrection that I believe is that the resurrection's got a twofold reason, in my opinion, and maybe a lot more, but I'm going to tell you about twofold. One, it proves who Jesus was.
Yes.
Everything that he did, and he was crucified, died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, didn't need somebody else to call him out of the grave like Lazarus did.
Amen.
Didn't need someone to lay across him like the prophet did in the Old Testament. Didn't need someone to talk to him like Peter and in the Acts. But out of the Spirit of God, he was resurrected. By the way, those other people were just resuscitated, Brother Collins.
Yeah.
They died again.
Yes.
My Lord and Savior will never die again.
Amen.
And you know what that made him? This is the second thing that the resurrection is about. It's the first fruit of many brethren. And guess what? I'm one of those brothers. And I'm going to be 33 years old again.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not, but that's my kind of my idea of it. But it says I'm going to be like him.
Yeah.
I'd have to be a lot prettier than I am now if you like. I'd like to need to be a lot more humble than I am.
Yeah.
Right now to be like it.
Yeah.
I would need to be much more worshipful than I am right now to be like it. Oh, how it is. How wonderful it is. And now, you know, I can skip over and skip over and a lot of things. But I want us to turn over, and if you've got your Bible and you want to look with me into the book of Revelation, this is not the end of the gospel, because the end of the gospel has not come yet. The end of the gospel has not come until we're all, there in Thessalonians, it tells us that one of these days he's coming back for us. And, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those who remain will be caught up together with him in the air. That's for us. Others have already experienced the good news.
Yes.
But they haven't experienced the coming again. Listen to this. In the 19th chapter. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True.
Yes.
And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed. By the way, let me explain what that means. You see, the name, if you know the name of a person, you've got authority over them. In old times, you've got authority. If you knew the name, this means that nobody's got authority over you.
Yes. Amen.
At that point, nobody's got authority over him. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Gospel.
Amen.
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 And that's when it's coming back. Oh, I'm glad for the good news.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you're here this week, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been saved, If you've never come to that place where you acknowledge the fact that you are a person that is a sinner, and you've never acknowledged that before God. Now understand something. You may know it in your heart, but you've got to acknowledge that before God.
Amen.
You don't have to acknowledge it before me, because there's nothing that I can do for you. You can walk down every aisle of every church.
Yes.
You can shake every preacher's hand. You can sign every card that there is.
Yes.
And acknowledge it before that person and that church. But unless you acknowledge it before God Almighty, you are still lost.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you do acknowledge that before God Almighty, and His Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin,
yes,
and you seek Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you get earnest about that, He will save you.
Amen.
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 If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, the gospel is there no matter whether or not you get saved or not.
Amen.
But Jesus did die for you.
Yes. Amen.
He took your sin upon Him when He died on the cross for you. Now, it's almost like that, and I find it hard to say it this way because I don't understand it. But every sin of every man, woman, and child that ever lived from Adam to the last child that's born on this earth before He comes back was put on Christ.
Yes.
It tells us that He became the propitiation of our sin. It tells us that He who knew no sin became sin. All of those things for the reason, by the way, Jesus saves. The reason that Jesus Christ came into this world, what does it say? He came to save sinners.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And if you're not saved, and if you reject Him, I don't understand the theology. If you want to call it theology, I don't understand this. But I know that He paid the price for you. But you're rejecting that price that He paid for you. I mean, it's like, I don't care how much you suffered, Jesus. I don't care how much of that suffering and those nails had my name on it. I'm not going to do it. I don't know how much of the drops of blood that you shed there on the cross, or the scourging that came before the cross. I don't care how much of that was for me. I don't care. And I'm going to reject it.
God, have mercy.
It's still the good news. The bad news is you reject it.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you're here tonight, this place that we call a mourner's bench in this tent revival is open and free for you, and I would invite you to come.
God help. Amen.
Amen.
God help.